This is Dave Glowatz. On the phone with me is Ben Jarofsky of the Chicago Reader. How are you doing today, Ben?
Fighting off a cold.
Well, I'm glad you were able to get out of bed long enough to talk to us. Today we're talking about the article titled Fair Part 2, written by Ben and Mick Dumke, that appeared in the online version of the Reader on May 15th, 2009. This article continues to dissect how the parking meter lease deal for the city of Chicago went down, and it presents different analyses of whether the deal makes sense financially. Ben, let's start off with a quote that you had from one expert in public finance, and the quote is as follows. The argument in favor of selling public assets is that a lot of the assets aren't tied to the core functions of the government, or that there are cost inefficiencies associated with them. Parking ought to be a core function of the city, and there are no appreciable operating efficiencies to be gained here. Can you think of examples of some public assets that aren't tied to the government's core functions?
Not really. This gets in the issue of privatizing services in the abstract as opposed to doing it here in the city of Chicago, which is a wretched, corrupt, inefficient system. So any privatization scheme is bound to make something that's functioning worse. But having said all that, I really can't think about it. I don't know why. I don't understand. I truly don't understand the impulse to privatize. It's been around for a long time. From time to time, I read the libertarian journals that crow about it, and I've just not been convinced. So I'm sorry. I know the big thing these days is show how fair you are by saying the other side has a valid point. So I'm always trying to be fair. I just can't see the point.
So much for your expert, huh?
I don't understand it. I mean, the whole point of having a public service is to protect the public's interest. If you bring in a private company, invariably you bring in the whole issue of profit. Service lines that aren't profitable get cut so that they can enhance their bottom line. You raise fares, you fire people, you cut salaries. It just sort of violates the whole point of protecting the public good.
Well, another thing that I found confusing is exactly how one calculates the value to the city of the parking meters. And I'd like to walk through some of those methods with you, because you present a couple of them in the article. First is what I guess I'd call a historical method. Each of the last 10 years, the parking meters in Chicago have brought in about $20 million and have cost, at most, about $4 million a year to maintain. So the result is around $16 million a year.
I thought it was around 17, but whatever.
The cost is $3 to $4 million a year. So if you say $3 million at the low end, then it's $17 million. So if you take the conservative number, $16 million over 75 years, which is the term of the city's lease to the vendor of parking meters, that amounts to $1.2 billion, a little more than what the city paid to the vendor for the lease deal. So then another way of calculating the value is a hypothetical one, which we get, I guess, from the Department of Revenue, as I first reported on WBEZ a few weeks ago. The Department of Revenue gave 32nd Ward Alderman Scott Wagasback a figure associated with him cutting the hours for meters in his ward. Revenue gave Wagasback three figures for each of three successive years, and you took the middle one and extrapolated the figure to 39 cents per hour. Then you multiplied that by the number of meters, 36,000, to get $66 million a year, or $5 billion over the life of the 75-year lease. Did you guys ever manage to verify how Revenue came up with those numbers?
Yeah. What they did was they put numbers on a wall and they threw a dart at it and it hit the...
No, they didn't tell you that.
No, I know. Sorry. Bad joke. But I think that probably would be a more efficient way of doing it. No, we didn't. And that gets into a whole other issue, which is the city's reluctance to reveal their analysis that governed the logic of this deal. This actually, to me, in some ways, has become a more enjoyable part of the story than the rather depressing saga of how we threw away a valuable asset for less than it's worth.
What's enjoyable?
Well, it's, I guess, I don't know, in a sadomasochistic way, it's enjoyable. The cat and mouse games that the city plays with inquiring reporters, in this case myself and Mick Dumke, when we seek information about why they do the things they do.
They had a consultant that they hired to advise them on the cost or the value of the deal from a vendor's perspective. And this comes to my sort of third method that I was able to divine of how the city values the meters. And the consultant says, from the vendor's perspective, lease is worth only about $1 billion after taking into account the vendor's upfront borrowing, corporate taxes, and capital investments. And you quote your public finance expert, who I talked about earlier, as saying that that kind of analysis isn't valid from the city's perspective. And I'm wondering, well, what would be?
Well, I look at it this way. Let's say the city has this notion that they may bring in a lot of money by selling parking meters. You have to say to yourself, well, we give up a lot if we sell the parking meters. For one thing, we lose, as Scott Wagersback discovered, the regulatory value that parking meters have, the fact that they have a purpose other than raising revenue, that they're there to regulate the flow of traffic on streets, and that each area has different needs and may want to adjust its parking meter policy.
He calls it an urban planning tool.
Yeah, urban planning. This is the issue that you were getting at in your WBEZ report. So that's an important public function. So if we're going to give that up, we have to get a lot of money. If we're going to make the argument that there's a larger public good to be served by giving up control over our parking meters, that larger public good has to be a lot of public dollars. So I would have thought that they would have said, okay, what's the amount of money that a private company will bring in if they quadruple the cost of meters? Well, that total would probably be a lot more than $20 million that you're referring to. I don't know what it would be. Doubling the cost of meters would bring in an estimated $55 million. So let's say quadrupling it would bring in $80 million. So then you multiply 80 times 75 and you come up with a figure. And then you say, okay, this is what we want for these parking meters. If nobody reaches that figure, then it's a compromise.
You write that when the city proposed in its 2008 budget to double the parking meter rates, aldermen protested that the increase would be bad for businesses. However, I spoke with Alderman Tom Tunney of Lakeview's 44th Ward, who said that the city can boost revenues by increasing not the rates, but the number of meters beyond what he says are the current 35,000, actually 36,000. Here's what Tunney had to say.
There's a way to ameliorate the price increases or modifications. There are other communities that need to have meters in their commercial areas that currently do not. Don't rely on the fixed 35,000 that were part of this deal. For instance, and I don't have the numbers right in front of me, but San Francisco, which is a much smaller city, has about, my belief is, like 27,000 meters. And yet Chicago, which is, you know, three or four times the size, has 35,000.
Tony goes on to say this.
In some communities that are lower socioeconomic communities, you can't start at $1 an hour. You might want to start with 25, 50 cents an hour to get businesses thriving in districts, and that would augment the revenue as part of the total package.
What do you think of that perspective?
Well, this gets into the whole point of why you would want flexibility on installing meters and setting the price. Again, what Tunney's getting at is what you're getting at, is that different communities have different needs. Some communities can afford more or want to afford more. So, yeah, I think that makes sense. And that's an argument for holding on to the meters and not giving up control to an outside party. That gets to the whole notion that meters serve a regulatory purpose. They're not just to raise money for the city. The underlying thesis, if there is one, of this deal is that you just want to make money off of meters. That's it.
Well, I think we'll leave it there. Ben Jarofsky of the Chicago Reader, thanks for joining me today.
Thanks for having me.
This is Dave Glowatz. We've been speaking about the rest of the story. When you have a chance, check back at MrRadio.org for further installments or subscribe to our podcast. Thanks for listening.